Get up! Get out of here and go!
Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue. Here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Ooh-wee, okay, everyone exhale. That was no big deal. Brewers win 9-2. They salvage the finale. It's a happy flight home and a happy off day. No sweep. They finished the road trip with a 3-4 record over these last 7 days and have an off day tomorrow. All right. It's all okay. Brewers beat up on a rookie and then really got going against the Dodgers' B bullpen today. I thought Dallas Keuchel pitched great. Jacob Junis pitched well. I'll explain why in just a moment. Craig Kishon is going to join us here on the program a little bit later on as well once his television duties are fulfilled. Brewers win. Offense was great. Yelly's the story for me today, too, because, you know, I was looking through all of my prep today, and I'm putting together notes, and I'm looking at the lineup, and I'm realizing something. I'm like, man, Yelly's kind of been in there. Today was his 48th consecutive start, and I'm not complaining about that at all. And I had asked Pat Murphy on the last homestand, we're starting to see Yelly DH a lot more. And in the words of Pat Murphy, it was for the good of the team, getting the outfielders, the young outfielders in there. And also, this was Yelly doing that before Garrett Mitchell's return, knowing that the writing was on the wall for Yelly saying, hey, he's going to have a lot more days that he's going to be a designated hitter here moving forward. And for him to perform like he did today as a designated hitter, which he has openly said has been very honest with the media about, saying he does not want to be an everyday DH yet in his career. He does not enjoy it. He does not particularly find it engaging for him to stay locked into the game. It's difficult for some players, and that's okay. That's a very normal thing for players to struggle hitting and staying in the game at bat to at bat when you aren't able to take your mind off of your job of hitting when you go out there and play defense. So for him to go 3-for-5 with another home run today, including an RBI double, 3 runs batted in, I thought was a very important development for him. And for those wondering, he's only a few plate appearances shy of officially being a qualifier to be among league leaders, right? Because he missed so much time, he's still below the minimum PA requirement for a qualifier. So through Tuesday, assuming he gets 4 at-bats on Tuesday, he will be one shy. He'll basically be like 1 or 2 plate appearances shy until about Thursday's, you know, assuming he gets 4 or 5 plate appearances on Tuesday and Wednesday. Thursday, at the end of the day, he should be a qualifier for National League rate stats. But on the Yelly front here, I'm pulling up his game log of games that he was the designated hitter. And today, it was the second time he's had a 3-hit game as a DH. They've all happened since the start of June. And I should say that rather the fourth time he's had it. One of them was in Colorado as well. But now when I just pull it back by date, and over these last 48 games that he's had consecutive starts for the Brewers, this starting streak goes back to the start of the Houston series on May 17th. The stretch is really, really phenomenal. Let me read you the numbers here. Over these last 48 games, Christian Yelich is hitting .319. He is on base .402. He is slugging .489 for an .891 OPS. Here in July, he's 11 for his last 28. That's almost .400. He's got 3 doubles, a triple, and 3 homers. Coors helped with that, but 2 of them came in L.A. these last 2 games. Yelly's starting to click back into that mode that we saw with him before the back injury, right? Hitting for power, pulling the ball with authority, dead center field as well. You go back to the Cubs series last weekend, and even the Rangers, really since the start of last homestand, he's been scalding baseballs, showing signs of life, showing signs of, you know, getting power back into his game. And we have seen it really pop over the last few games. He's the story for me. And we'll talk about Dallas Keuchel coming up in the next segment as well. Yelly being Yelly is massive. And oh, by the way, William Contreras had the day off today. So it's a double win. The Brewers get a W. You get the double day off for William, with tomorrow being the off day. Keep him fresh. Keep him ready to go, especially given he's going to be playing in the All-Star game and have the festivities there. a lot to enjoy about today's game. Let's break down Dallas Keuchel coming up next. I want to remind you, you can text in, you can call in, 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Also, don't worry, we are definitely going to be talking about All-Star Reserves. I want to remind you, Brewers Extra Innings brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With the local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities, all to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. I'll tell you why Dallas Keuchel had a great start coming up next on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Brewers win 9-2 over the Dodgers. I've got a player of the game poll up on my Twitter at Dom_Catronio. Of course, Yelly is running away with that one, but you can go make your voice heard over there as well, or over the text line, or call 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. This one from Josh in Milwaukee. Hopefully you found some catharsis in today's win. Keuchel allowing no runs by five walks. Felt like a minor miracle, and then the offense finally got to work. This one from Doug. Keuchel pulled a Houdini act, but that's okay as long as he got the job done. Pretty nice to have five outfielders who are this good. Let's talk a little bit about Keuchel here. So a blind eye, maybe somebody who didn't watch the game, if you're at the water cooler tomorrow, and somebody says, geez, five walks and no strikeouts from Dallas Keuchel? Why'd they get that guy? What's the point? Here's the point. I tweeted the pitch chart of where he was working today. And this was a term that was taught to me a long time ago and reiterated today by Badley Sports Wisconsin's Tim Dillard. Make a U, okay? Make a U with your pitching. Draw that U. You want it to look like all those dots perform, make a little Van Gogh, if you will, into a U around the strike zone. So the edges and the bottom of the zone. Especially a guy like Keuchel with sinkers and cutters and changeups. And there were a few pitches down the middle. None of his secondary pitches were down the middle, okay? No fat changeups down the middle, no fat cutters down the middle. Everything else, edges and the U or below the zone. That is where Keuchel succeeds. He is not a strikeout swing and miss pitcher. 9 groundouts today out of 13 outs recorded. That's the guy that he is. He said, look, I am not going to make you beat me putting the ball in the air. If I take a walk at the bottom of the zone, that's like a ground ball base hit to me. And that's okay, because that means I'm one ground ball away from getting a double play. Now, the Brewers, ironically, did not turn a double play today. They hit into two themselves. But understanding what his game plan was, he was okay with walks today. If I had told you Dallas Keuchel went 4 1/3 innings with 8 hits, 7 of them singles, no runs, no walks, no strikeouts, how would you react? Oh, great start. Great job. He gutted it out. You know, a lot of contact. No big deal. This was the game plan. You either hit a ground ball and take the likely outcome of you rolling over to third, which you saw a lot today, or you take the walk and trust the guy behind you. Quite frankly, after Teoscar Hernandez in this lineup today, Dallas Keuchel was like, I got this. Pajes, Vargas, Rojas, Hernandez, Taylor. And I know Taylor hit a home run later in the game. But that's what Keuchel was saying. I'm not going to let Ohtani get me. And granted, he pitched great against him. The Brewers held Ohtani down as much as they could for a 3-game series. Will Smith went 0-for-4 today with a walk. Freddie Freeman 1-for-3 with a walk today. Teoscar Hernandez went 1-for-3 with a walk today. He said, that first four, I'm not going to mess with them. I can't make a mistake elevated to them. But everybody else, you can get yourself out. Hit a rollover ground ball or a jam double like Miguel Rojas did later in the game. Right? That was 67 miles an hour off the bat that spun away from Rhys Hoskins. Like, Dallas Keuchel was like, all right, whatever. No big deal. That's what he wants to do. So challenge your brain for a moment. If somebody says, man, Keuchel, 5 walks, say, well, what if there were 5 singles and he still allowed 0 runs? It's the same thing. He made sure he was not going to allow a home run, was not going to get beat elevated in the zone. That was the game plan. That was the goal. And I think he absolutely crushed it. Also knowing he had Jacob Junis available behind him. I think the plan all along, when you saw this lineup full of right-handers in it, get through Freddie Freeman a third time and then hand it over no matter where you are. And that's what they obviously ended up doing. So you would hope that would have been through five innings, maybe even in the sixth if you were lucky. But you knew you had 2 to 3 innings available from Jacob Junis following him, which was super helpful to know that you did not need Keuchel to, you know, limit his pitches or be perfect or worry about the walks. That was a very well-executed game plan by Dallas Keuchel. Also, hat tip to Eric Haas. A couple of texts and tweets asking about Eric Haas. What do you do with him? We'll talk about him with Craig Kishon a little bit later on when he joins the show. I thought he called a great game. He obviously had a great game at the plate as well, going 2 for 4 with a home run, an opposite field shot. There's a lot of stuff to like there from Eric Haas, just like we said at the end of spring training. But to me, I thought Dallas Keuchel was phenomenal, and I'll leave it at that. Other teams, he'll be able to be a little more aggressive. Like, his next start will be against the Washington Nationals. Maybe he'll be more of a traditional, let's see if I can get some cutters by you, get down into the zone a little bit more. These are things that we'll monitor for Keuchel, because he will likely start on Friday against the Nationals. And then you would see, or maybe Saturday, I should say. It would be Saturday, because Freddie would go on Friday. And then you would likely see Colin Ray on Sunday to close out the first half against the Nats. And another text here, don't sleep on the Pirates and the Nationals. Both of them playing great baseball. Now, the Nats lost today to the Cardinals 8-3. The Nats are only 6 games under 500, and the Pirates, they lost today to the Mets. They'll play the Mets one more time tomorrow. They're only 5 games under 500, and the Brewers are going to see Skeens on Thursday. So they get to see the electric factory that right-hander has been. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
You're listening to Brewers Extra Innings, presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Dom Catronio here. Craig Kishon on his way. Brewers win 9-2. The Brewers, the Phillies, and the Orioles, the only teams in baseball to not have a 4-game losing streak this season. Pretty resilient club. They're very fun to watch, to say the least. A couple of texts that have come in here as well. Tom from Pewaukee, I'd love to talk about the game and how great Yelly and Perkins were. But no, the All-Star Reserves list had to ruin it. Don't worry, we'll talk about that with Bryce not getting in as a reserve, nor Brian Hudson, for that matter, or Trevor McGill. This one from Chef Ed. Go Crew. I love this team. If we lose to Philly or the Dodgers in the playoffs, I'm still excited. We have an exciting, never-die attitude. I like that attitude there, Chef. I appreciate that. We're efforting to get Craig Kishon here on the program. I think he's just going to end up calling in here. It's a note to my producer, Evan. The Brewers, tomorrow off, you get Pirates for 3, Nationals for 3. And with the offense and starting to take shape of this crowded outfield picture, you know, you saw today a left-handed starter. So Churio was playing defense, playing left field. Mitchell got a start against lefty. It was Frelick yesterday getting the start against the lefty. So I wonder if those guys are going to rotate off back and forth. I thought that was big for Mitchell to get a hit later in the game off the Ryan Yarbrough. And I know he was throwing frisbee and 68-mile-an-hour curveballs later in the game. But still, nonetheless, got the job done. And for Mitchell, his first hit off of a lefty this year, something to monitor for the rest of the season. For this outfield picture, I love what we've seen from a week of Garrett Mitchell being back. I thought Blake Perkins really needed this game today, going 3 for 5 with a home run, his first home run since May 29th. The Brewers have depth there, and maybe they're going to deal from that depth. I know they've already got Aaron Civale. Maybe they try to do something else, but the depth is never a bad thing. As Craig Kishon joins us now here on the program, Craig, I'm talking about the outfielders, and I'm talking about how important it was for Blake Perkins to have this day alongside Garrett Mitchell and alongside Jackson Churio's hot streak, whose hot streak ended today. But for Perkins, who's been kind of going through it and delivering gold glove defense in center field every day, yes, he got picked off, but positive side of the offense, I love what we saw tonight.
Well, there's nothing better than to see a guy make a mistake, especially on the bases the way Perkins did. and be able to bounce back and hit a home run. I mean, does it get any better than that? Probably not. But just the fact that he hung in there, and I think, you know, you mentioned his defense too, Dom. I just think the fact that when guys go through long stretches where they're not producing a whole lot offensively, but yet they maintain, you know, that golden type glove, I think you got to give guys like that a lot of credit for the fact that they're always keeping their head in the ball game. They're always making sure that if they can contribute or if there's opportunities, you know, to do the right thing, stay positive, that they're cashing in on all that. But it was great to see for sure. And offensively, you're right. I mean, even getting Mitchell in this mix here right now, it needs to be done. I mean, I'd hate to throw numbers up on the board and take a look at where, you know, the outfield production numbers are right now. But you would think at this point that this staff is hoping that those all increase by everybody not named Christian Yelich at this point.
Yeah, I think with Yelly, too, you lead me into this. Yelly had been carrying it for such a long time, and you feel like they're going to become even more dynamic with a guy like Mitchell in the fold, and maybe using Frelick a little bit more strategically, where him and Perkins can be splitting their roles, and you can move Mitchell around, and they're going to get very creative here moving forward with their outfield. But Yelich is, to me, the story today. I've already talked a lot about Dallas Keuchel and a little bit about Yelly. We talked about it today in the studio with you, Craig. I mean, 3-for-4 today, a homer, a double, 3 runs batted in, a walk, no strikeouts, playing in his 48th consecutive start, having the power back. This is the Yelich that everyone goes, wait a minute. Because there are some shades of 2018 here, and I think you know where I'm leading you here, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, he needs to get that power back, and we've been waiting on it since he hurt his back, and now we're starting to see it. And in 2018, he had such an unbelievable second half of the season that led him to that MVP. If this is going to start picking up like we've seen here on this road trip for Yelly, and by the way, at key times, how about yesterday's eighth inning home run to tie the game, and then today, you know, this scoreless game, what in the fourth inning? And he gets him on the board first. I mean, you know, he's saying enough is enough. We got a rookie pitcher out here. Let's go get him. And he did. So just the fact that he is right now getting to the point, I think, Dom, where he can do what he wants to do with the bat. And there's no better definition to what an MVP really looks like that can do things like that.
Well, let me read you the numbers where I'm leading you here. At the end of the first half, now mind you, he played in pretty much every game in the first half in 2018, thanks to his health. But at the All-Star break in 2018, he was hitting .293. Now, we're not at the All-Star break, I know that, but let me just compare. 2018, he was hitting .293. Right now, with about 100 plate appearances less, he is hitting .329. His on-base percentage in the first half in 2018 was .364. Again, right now, with about 100 less plate appearances, it's .407. His OPS was .823. Right now, it's .940. He had 11 homers in the first half in 2018. He had his 11th home run today. I'm not saying he's about to pop off for 25 home runs in the second half like he did in 2018, but it's nice to see the power now showing signs of it. That's now 4 home runs in, what, the last 10, 12 days for him? That's where you're like, okay, not expecting MVP Yelly, but you can say, ooh, there's some power lurking there in the 3 spot now.
Well, there is. And if you can look, I mean, I really think he's capable of doing just about anything he wants to compare to those numbers, you know, the rest of the way compared to 2018 as well, Dom. I really do. I don't know if he's going to match those numbers. I mean, I don't think that's something that we can expect to happen or predict, but I don't know why he couldn't come close to some of those numbers. And if he does, this is how you carry a team, and this is what this team needs here right now, because like I said, in that outfield, you need somebody, you need at least one guy to produce big numbers, and he is certainly more than capable of doing that, and he's on the verge of getting that done here right now. Now, if he can get some of that outside support that we've been talking about a little bit from these younger outfielders, you know, look out. So I really do feel, though, that he, you know, you just look at him play and his health here and physically where he is, there's nothing holding this guy back here right now whatsoever. He is 100%. He's 100% confident to do whatever he wants to do to stretch out that athletic ability that he's got. So it's been a lot of fun to watch for sure.
Amen. Another guy that's been fun to watch was snubbed, Bryce Tarang. We'll talk about the All-Stars. We'll talk about the reaction and why there's still a chance for him to make it in. Brewers win 9-2 today over the Dodgers. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. We'll talk about the All-Star snubs next on WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Craig Kishon is with us. I'm Dom Catronio. Brewers win 9-2. All right, now the fun talk. Now the anger. The small market rising up against the big national agenda against us, Craig Kishon. Bryce Tarang is not an All-Star, and I cannot for the life of me think of a reason that Luis Arraez, who has not played second base since the middle of May, is named an All-Star reserve at second base. Second base over Bryce Tarang. The numbers, there's no sense in going through the numbers because the numbers agree. I know Luis Arraez hits for batting average, and I'm not complaining about a guy that hits for batting average because Bryce Tarang also hits for batting average. His on base is better. His OPS plus is better. His WRC plus is better. He has more stolen bases. He has more slug. He has more hits. I can go on and on and on. Why the heck does this keep happening to the Brewers?
It's blasphemy, Dom. I don't know how else to describe it. It is angering, that's for sure, that this team that has played so well all year long, has been in first place for most of the year, has an established large lead in their division, and is on par with the Phillies and the Dodgers in the National League, only has two All-Stars, and they were voted in for the most part by the fans, well-deserved. Now, I get it. There's percentages along the way. But this layer that we're talking about, this snub, has come from the coaches and the players, which is mind-boggling to me in this round. Now, I do believe that Bryce Tarang is going to wind up on the All-Star team before it's all said and done. But this is a day where you feel honored with your peers throughout baseball when you're named. There's two dates when you're voted in, like Yelich and Contreras were, and then there's this day where the roster is set. We know it's going to change, but technically the roster is set today, and everyone's talking on a Sunday night about the American League and the National League All-Stars, and they should be talking about what a great season, an All-Star season that Bryce Tarang has had here and deserves to be into the All-Star game. And I don't know how we can get the defensive numbers out there, how can we can preach that this guy should be winning the Gold Glove at this point as well. And then you have Luis Arraez, no disrespect for him, but I mean, I just don't understand it, how this guy can be named at second base. I don't get it.
It makes no sense, and it's a slap in the face to a guy who has played, like you said, Gold Glove defense. If it wasn't for the early platoons and not believing the quantum leap, that he would have been playing every day to this point in the season, which he is now. But I that's the one that makes me mad, because it's like the players, like obviously we don't have a job without the players, but let's be honest, the players are like, yeah, I've heard of that guy. Yeah, that's it. They don't watch baseball. I'm sorry. This is a little dirty little secret. Baseball players don't watch baseball. Some do, not most of them. And to them, to give them power, I get the, oh, vote for your peers, and it's a big deal and all this stuff. I like what the NBA does, where they have a portion of the vote for the players, a portion of the vote for the coaches, a portion of the vote for the executives, and a portion of the vote for the media for everybody else to fill out the All-Star ballot. That's what I want to see baseball do. It shouldn't be all power to players and coaches for everybody that didn't get voted in by the fans.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that the league could definitely make some adjustments like that along the way. They've made adjustments. We all know that in the last 10 plus years or whatever, when it comes to voting and how things are split up and whatnot. But, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, this guy is going to still be an All-Star. There's just too many, there's too much of a revolving door of players who choose not to play. players that get hurt, whatever the case may be, there's still a week of regular season to go before the All-Star break even happens. So I'm really hoping that, you know, Terang's going to be there. I don't know what else to say about what should go in, unless you just technically did something strictly on numbers, Dom, and you're the number cruncher. I mean, you know, you're in tune with how things are going when it comes to rating and analyzing players. I mean, maybe they should go more on that route. And my God, I mean, Bryce Terang has to stand out above everybody else at second base alone on that. And Arise is not even playing second base. So right there, that would be problem fixed.
I agree. It makes too much sense, Craig. It makes too much sense. One of the things that we kind of saw coming was Brian Hudson not being named an All-Star, but there were two non-closer relievers added. That was Jeff Hoffman and Matt Strom. Now, Jeff Hoffman's had an incredible year for the Phillies. No qualms about that. I have a little qualm about Matt Strom. You know, I get it. They're the best team on the best record sort of thing, but the numbers are better for Brian Hudson. Again, baseball players don't watch baseball, and it's hard to vote on a middle reliever that doesn't get saves, that maybe you haven't seen yet, or maybe you've seen. It's hard. I get that. I'm not trying to tear down Matt Strom like I kind of was for Luis Arraez there, but in my opinion, Brian Hudson's an All-Star, and at this point, the fact that he hasn't been named kind of tells me, all right, you know what? Let's give him the break. Let's give him the full 5 days to hit the reset button, because now after these last three outings, he might need it.
Yeah, no kidding. And we had wondered, too, that if he didn't make it, was it based on the last couple of days? But obviously, those votes were in before then. But, yeah, he's definitely put up easily All-Star caliber numbers. I mean, what he's done has been phenomenal. I would agree with you that this really comes more down to the players' awareness of who else is, you know, pitching on certain teams and whatnot and what their roles are. So not as surprised to me about Hudson, although the numbers certainly bear having him be on that All-Star team. And it will be interesting to see if and when, how many pitchers, you know, bow out, and if they do extend him that invitation, and will he take it? Will the club want him to take it?
Yeah, it's an honor, and it's some cash in your pocket. I wouldn't blame him for wanting to do that as well. I was hoping for Trevor McGill, but also you got to remember it's really hard for a closer on a team that already has multiple All-Stars to make it onto the team. But maybe he can be a fill-in as well. And he pitched well today coming in the bottom of the ninth, since he hasn't pitched in 4 days. Okay, this week, Pirates and Nationals. Then the All-Star break. How do you avoid that pre-All-Star break swoon and then get ready to enjoy that break? Because the Nats and Pirates are playing good ball right now. Got to find a way against these guys. What do you want to see from the crew this week?
Well, I think it's going to be good for the crew to be back home. It was a West Coast road trip, a homestand, and another West Coast road trip. That's been the last 3 weeks for this team. They've been playing so well at home. I think after the day off tomorrow, you know, getting this win today is big. It's a long plane ride home. You have tonight to kick up. Once you get back, you have all day tomorrow and then a night game on Tuesday. You know, for me, a couple of things. You got Colin Ray going out there on Tuesday, and he's been, you know, your strongest starting pitcher, most consistent, and just pitched a gem last week in Colorado. So for a guy to set the tone, that's the guy you want out there on Tuesday night. With the Pirates coming in for three, you've got a division rival. I don't care what the records are, where they are in the standings. You got to pick up division wins, and the Brewers have done a tremendous job of that, and that's how you're going to win your division. So that's an incentive for me as well. And just the fact that you can close out your homestand on a strong note, because, yes, there is the All-Star break after that, but you do start after the All-Star break on the road. So to me, a lot of reasons not to get misguided and lose your direction starting on Tuesday night.
I agree. Craig Kishon, bringing the analysis right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Appreciate you, Craig. Enjoy the off day tomorrow, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good, Dom. Thanks.
All right, Craig Kishon on the program. We'll hear from Pat Murphy next. This is 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Big win today, 9-2 over the Dodgers. This one from Mike in Colorado. Finally a convincing win on this road trip, saving the best for last. Thinking Perkins is better than Mitchell. I like them both equally, but now Perkins has a slight edge. Also, quick note, Eric Haas, what do you do when Gary Sanchez comes back? A couple of texts have asked about that. We haven't heard anything about Gary's status yet of his rehab from his calf strain. You obviously want to get those out of the way sooner as opposed to later, make sure they don't flare back up. But look, if Haas keeps playing like this, that decision will be very hard later on down the road because you cannot option him back to AAA. So there is a decision to remain. The reason why they liked Gary over Haas in the beginning was because of his power, Gary's. Well, if Haas hit a home run today off of a lefty, I'm just saying, like, if he can do that, keep an eye out for that as well. Want to remind you, the Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. They're offering $10 off an AC tune-up or $10 off HVAC, plumbing, or an electrical service call. At Sider, your home comfort is top priority. Visit Sider.com today. That's Sider.com. Here's the manager, Pat Murphy, after today's win.
Again, you know, the reason we picked him up, the front office scouted him, looked at him, see where he's at, and felt like the reason he could help is because his experience. He's not going to give in. He had a lot of pitches on the edges today. I didn't look at it on video, but a lot of pitches on the edges. He didn't give in, and that was the difference. And he gave us a huge lift today. He threw up 4+ and zeros. He had a high pitch count, but what was needed is this guy did what was needed. And that was beautiful. Junis came in, did a bang-up job, nice job, keeping the game under control. Peguero's best inning in a while. And, you know, McGill closed it out. But, you know, story of the game, obviously Yelich, has been dominant this series in terms of his at-bats. It's been unbelievable. Only upstaged by the kid over there. Kind of series he had, you know, but Yelich rose to the occasion when we needed him. And but guys like Vinny Capra, Eric Haas, these guys are in the major leagues for the first time this week, you know, like for the first time of the year. And Capra's got about 12 at bats total in his career, and for him to play defense the way he did and play in this environment, I was as proud as hell of him. And of course, you got to mention Perkins. Perk was unbelievable. Got picked off second, and but three hits, three RBIs, big homer to extend the lead. That's great effort. A lot of guys, great effort.
Murph, you hear that phrase a lot, not don't give in from the pitcher. How hard is it to do that, go out there and really just...
You got to have the guts to know there's going to be guys on base. If they're disciplined, which the Dodgers, according to the numbers, are the most disciplined team in baseball, they're going to, you know, they're going to take their walks. I mean, they're missing Betts. We're missing half a team. You know what I mean? So, and Betts is a great player, but they're disciplined, and you know they didn't get the big hit today when they needed to, but they had opportunities. But Keuchel did not give in, and that's a great job. Great job.
Mark, what do you think when you see Yelich on a tear like this? Since last Sunday, 70% of his balls are hard hit.
I've seen it. I mean, I've seen this. I'm not going to get too giddy, but he's had an incredible year. But more importantly, he has an incredible impact on our team. Incredible impact on the young guys. On guys like Perkins, to not get down after getting picked off in a 2-0 game. A senseless pickoff. You know what I mean? Keep himself going, and after that, Perkins responded. You know, and it's guys like Yelich that keep those guys going. That's what keeps Adames, keeps Churio going, and Contreras, and you know, that's what a team is about. And I think today's win represents how bad those guys want it, and how much they compete. This isn't, we don't care that we don't have experience. We don't care that people thought we'd finish last. We don't care what people predicted. They're hungry, and even the guys that have played are hungry, and they come to play even when it doesn't feel good, even when they're uncomfortable. It's a tough environment to win in, for us for sure. We're on our second West Coast trip in 7 days on the West Coast, home, 7 days back on the West Coast. It's an adjustment. So, yeah, proud of our guys. Guys like Haas and Capra, that just gives me chills, you know what I mean, thinking about how they did today. And again, the front office signed those guys as guys that could help us, you know what I mean?
You're one of only three teams in the majors not to have a four-game losing streak this year. Just how hard is it to not have a prolonged slump during the season?
I really don't know. I don't know. I don't think like that. I want to answer your question good, but I don't think like that. I don't. If we did have a four-game losing streak, I'm looking at how we play. I'm looking at the hunger. I'm looking at the edge. I'm looking at being ready every pitch, not going, oh, we got a four-run lead, we're fine. Still playing hard. Still making at bats matter. So
making at bats matter, every little thing. How about Vinny Capra? Yeah, I mean, birthday. Happy birthday to Vinny, his 28th birthday. He had a really busy day at third base. He had a clutch double to keep that rally going, get that rally going in the fifth inning that led to the Haas opposite field two-run home run. So he had himself a very nice day. Brewers get the victory 9-2. Let's relive it next with some highlights on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here!
Gone! Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
All right, the finale. The Brewers trying to avoid a four-game losing streak for the first time this year and avoid getting swept by the Dodgers. Going up against the big league debut, Justin Robleski, and the Brewers will had their own southpaw on mound. That was Dallas Keuchel. This game was scoreless early in the contest. Brewers couldn't get much going against Robleski the first time through the order. Then finally, the second time through, they find a way with Christian Yelich.
The pitch hit in the air to center field. That one carrying back. Páez onto the track, turns around, watches it fly. Goodbye! Christian Yelich, dead center, two-run home run. He just missed one back in the first. He didn't miss this baby here in the fourth, and the Brewers have a 2-0 lead.
Josh Mauer's call here on WTMJ. It was the first time he's had back-to-back games with a home run since last July against the Reds. In the bottom half of that inning, though, the Brewers are trying to get the shutdown inning, which is really elusive for them over this series. A bloop double by Miguel Rojas put him on second. A four-pitch walk to the nine-hitter Chris Taylor brought up Shohei Ohtani as the go-ahead run against Dallas Keuchel.
Keuchel ready. Another 3-2 coming. Runners go. Here it is. Ground ball. Second base. Two hops right into the glove of Terang, who throws him out. Inning over. And Dallas Keuchel does get through four scoreless somehow, some way.
And then what's better than a shutdown inning? A response inning. In the fifth, the Brewers kept the good times going. A two-out, two-strike double by Capra was followed by the backup catcher.
A one. Fly ball out to right. Racing back is Hernandez at the track. Wall, it is gone! Eric Haas, first home run as a Brewer. It's a two-run shot, and the Brewers are up 4-0.
It was a huge shot for Haas the opposite way. That got them some breathing room for 4-0. Chris Taylor would hit a two-run home run later to make it 4-2. Then the breathing room and the floodgates opened with Blake Perkins in the seventh.
Pitch drilled deep left field. Way back goes Vargas. Onto the track. Vargas right at the fence. Back she goes. Goodbye. Blake Perkins. It's the third home run of the afternoon for the Crew. Way up into the blue sky and way out into the seats in left. It's a 5-2 Milwaukee lead in the seventh.
He wasn't done. How about an inning later, Blake Perkins adding with the bases loaded.
The 1-1. Liner past the diving Hernandez and into left field. Yelich will score. Adames around third. Here's the throw to the plate, and Adames is safe. The ball got away from Smith. What a day from Blake Perkins. Two big insurance runs. It's 7-2 Crew.
What a moment for Blake Perkins. The Brewers would add on late with Christian Yelich having an RBI double and Garrett Mitchell as well. The route was on. 9-2 was the final. I'm just about out of time here on Brewers Extra Innings. My thanks to our producer, Evan Witalison. Bob Brainer will be in on Tuesday for me. I'm Dom Catronio. See you then next time. Keep on swinging.